You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 381.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hey, Kevin.
How you doing?
Look at us, still standing after that run-up to Dragon Con episode.
Last week was our official Dragon Con preview episode. Dragon Con's still a few days away as this show comes out.
I get tired just listening to all the things you're going to do.
Yes, we're frighteningly close to Dragon Con as this show comes out. But last week, if you're looking for our preview show, go back to last week's show.
Right.
We're not talking Dragon Con this week. This will be a quick show, hopefully, because again, I'm just in frantic Dragon Con prep mode right now.
Right, you're busy, and I just don't feel like talking.
we each have our reasons, don't we?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to make you talk right now, because this is your segment to start the show. Cornflake, what's this week's National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
This week's National Whatever Day hits the me button pretty hard.
The you button.
The me button.
Okay.
Because it's Radio Commercials Day. August 28th is a celebration of radio commercials. Commercials you hear on the radio. And that's because the very first radio commercial was broadcast on a New York radio station, WEAF. And this happened on August 28th, 1922. Do you want to guess what the commercial was for?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see. Was it for the Commodore 64?
In 1922? Come on!
This commercial was ahead of its time.
Available several decades from now. Yeah. It's the Commodore 64.
Yeah, I don't know. What did they sell back then? Just like soap?
Soap? Coffee?
Yep.
Realty. So it was for a real estate agent.
Oh.
Queensboro Realty had the first known radio commercial.
Okay. And so they're just on the radio saying, hey, come buy a house from us?
Yep. How exciting. I have to say, though, that since then, there have been some other radio commercials that are fun that I remember. Do you have any particular favorites?
Well, as soon as you announced what this day was, of course, as usual, my mind is racing and coming up empty. I'm trying to think with radio commercials that I liked, that I remember. I don't know.
There are some that just stick out in my head. I don't know that I liked them, but I remember, better get Mako.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I feel like I remember that as a TV ad, though. You'd hear a lot of the same stuff on the radio would be the same as the TV commercials,
right.
I guess.
You catch the audio of it.
Yeah.
And, well, there's some that I think that were specifically radio, and I know some of them weren't. Like, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Yeah, again, I know that from TV.
Right.
I do not remember hearing a Folgers coffee ads on the radio.
I do. And Coca-Cola, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. That was on TV, too.
It definitely. Everybody remembers the TV commercial, all the hippies standing in a field. I do remember, speaking of soda, though, I do remember a Ramblin' Root Beer, which I think we talked about years ago. We did a Flopcast Root Beer taste test.
Yes.
But Ramblin' Root Beer in the early 80s, I definitely remember hearing the Ramblin' Root Beer commercial jingle on the radio. So there you go.
There were some commercials in the 90s that were on the radio that I don't think had TV counterparts. And there's a whole series of them that comes to mind. And it's the Bud Light Real Men of Genius commercials.
Oh, those were horrible.
I loved those.
I remember those and I hated them. But the guy singing in those commercials is the guy from Survivor.
Yeah.
The Eye of the Tiger dude.
That's him. It's pretty amazing that they got him.
Yeah, I hated those commercials.
Oh, I'm sorry. I loved them. All right. So there was also, right around 2000, these series of commercials of Jiffy Lube set to classical music.
Hmm.
And I wish I could find recordings of these somewhere. There's me and one other dude on the internet trying to find whoever has the recordings of these, because I remember one particular one, and the words were, man, I wish I had gone to Jiffy Lube Because I don't like hitching rides with motley dudes.
Hmm. Is this something you remember fondly and are currently searching for?
I've been looking all over. If anybody has recordings of the old, around the year 2000, Jiffy Lube radio commercials that were set to classical music, they were wonderfully goofy.
Wow.
And did you know that I used to do commercials when I was a kid, Kevin?
When you were a kid?
Yeah. You didn't know this about me.
You were on the radio in commercials as a kid?
Yeah, I get to get out of school early and go do commercials.
What?
You don't know this about me?
You got out of school to go make a commercial?
Yeah, I had parents that worked for radio stations, so I got to go. And I remember one time I got to do a commercial for a...
Was that you singing about Ramblin' Root Beer?
That was totally me.
I knew it.
And one time I got to do a commercial for a toy store that was and possibly still is in Manchester, New Hampshire, called the Little Red Dollhouse. It was pretty famous at the time, and then I got to go afterwards and get a toy from the Little Red Dollhouse, so that was pretty rad.
Do you have audio of these?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I do have it somewhere. I will dig it up for you. It's on tape cassettes I've not listened to for years. And one time it was for a place that repaired vacuums and sewing machines.
Wow.
Yeah. This is a thing I used to do.
I'm still learning weird things about you. I like that you got out of school to do this.
Me too. It was better than recess. You know, get out of school, head to the radio station, go get in the recording booth and bang out some commercials.
And this is like you were a fact of life girl, you know? They should have set up a little school for you on the set at the radio station.
That would have been awesome.
You shouldn't have had to go to regular school. You should have been in professional children's school with other radio performers.
Yeah, something went horribly wrong, I guess. But nevertheless, that's part of the reason why I get a little bit nostalgic when it comes to radio commercials.
Yeah, that's amazing. I had no idea this was going on.
Yes, I was a star back in the day.
You know my band, Sponge Awareness Foundation?
Yeah.
Comedy band.
Kind of a huge fan.
And our songs will be on the Dr. Demento show. And a handful of times, Dr. Demento would mail us copies of the show. We'd get like the same copy of the show that would go to radio stations. And this was on vinyl back in the day. It'd be like two albums worth of the radio show.
This, I think, plays into something I'm going to bring up later, actually.
Weird.
Yeah, interesting coincidence, but do go on.
But what was fun, if you play these records of the radio show, there's spots where it's just quiet. Because that's where the local radio stations
would
put in the local commercials.
Yeah.
So instead of hearing all these radio ads that you recall so fondly, I like having a record where it's just silent.
So you would like lack of radio commercials day.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit better. But I liked radio commercials. So happy radio commercial day on August 28th.
Yeah, that's a weird one, but good.
Yeah, kind of cool.
And you still listen to the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't. I was definitely still listening to the radio back in 1981.
Oh.
And 1981 is the year we're focusing on today. We're in our run of 80s-themed Flopcast episodes. This is episode 381.
Yep.
Which takes us up to 1981. And what I have for 81 is exactly what I had last week for 1980.
Same 10 songs?
Which is the exact same 10 songs. Yeah, they were
still
just
in the top 10.
They were locked in the top 10 for a year. Plus a week.
Changing positions, but not quite.
Casey Kasem could not believe it. Every week he'd come out and say, folks, I don't understand what's going on. The exact same songs are all in the top 10.
If I was a betting woman, yeah. I would put money on Sailing still being on that list, but I'm not gonna.
Christopher Cross, locked in the top 10 for years.
Trapped like a prisoner.
With Sailing.
A prisoner of pop, Kevin.
Here's what I have for 1981. I've got the number one movie this week in 1981. Is that now last week for the 1980 movie? It was a movie I had not seen, which was Smokey and the Bandit 2. It happened again this week. The number one movie is one that I have actually never seen, but it was An American Werewolf in London.
Mm.
Werewolf movie starring David Naughton, the guy from the Dr. Pepper commercials.
Oh, him.
Probably heard that on the radio quite a bit back then.
Wouldn't you like to be a Pepper
too? Yeah, that guy. What's weird though, when I was looking at the number one movies, and 81 was the year of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm.
And the week before and the week after, Raiders was the number one movie. And that actually happened for months over the course of the year. Like Raiders came out, I don't know, in the spring or so. And it would be number one for several weeks in a row. Then some other new movie would come out. be number one for a week or two, and then Raiders would be number one again. But movies just would hang around back then for a long time in a way that they don't. Anyway, now there's like a big new, you know, Marvel blockbuster comes out every 3 weeks. So.
Right. And if you miss it, you have to wait till it goes on video.
But they just keep knocking them out as fast as they can. But yeah, movies would stick around forever back then. So I've definitely seen Raiders a million times, which dropped out of the number one spot this week, was replaced by a movie I've not seen about a wolf.
Because they knew all the way back in time, they knew that we'd be talking about it.
They were trying to ruin the Flopcast from the past.
People have been trying to ruin the Flopcast long since before the podcast even existed.
And usually they succeed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's the top 10 songs for this week in 1981. And this is a good list. This is better than last week's list. This is strong.
You have my attention.
Yeah. You ready for this?
Okay.
All right. Number 10, Journey, Who's Crying Now?
Yeah.
Come on.
Sorry.
I mean, not the best Journey song.
Right.
But it's still a Journey song. Come on. Number 9, The Commodores, Lady, You Bring Me Up. This is still Lionel. This is still Lionel Richie era Commodores.
Yes.
Not for long. He was just about to bail out for his magnificent solo career.
You wouldn't have known it then, though.
I think this is the song that has the wacky video where they're running around like on a soccer field or something.
That's how you want to see your Commodores.
Yeah, I want to see Lionel Richie. He's running around wearing little shorts.
Yep.
Number 8, Urgent by Foreigner. Not my favorite Foreigner song.
Yeah, that's...
But still, it's a Foreigner song.
Right. But nah. Sorry.
Foreigner is one of those bands that everybody just forgets about. You know, they were a big band with a ton of big songs.
I feel like I should like them more.
I do too. Foreigner. This week with Urgent at number 8. Number 7, here you go, Cornflake, Ronnie Millsap.
Yeah.
I like those early 80s country acts.
Yeah, you do.
And here's Ronnie Millsap, There's No Getting Over Me. It's a very James Taylor-sounding song.
So modest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Like he's just warning this girl.
They should have called him Ronnie Modest.
Yeah. What an egomaniac.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
It's so charming.
Ronnie Millsap. I like his stuff. And you know, I'm not a country music guy. And yet somehow...
There's enough rock and pop to it.
I make an exception for Ronnie Millsap.
And it's a fair exception.
Oh, we're on a roll now. Two in a row in the top 10 that are essentially country songs. Because at number 6, Juice Newton.
Yeah.
Queen of Hearts.
Yes.
See, that's a country song, too.
Yes.
A lot of Juice's stuff was pretty country-ish. Yeah. But I like Juice Newton.
Me too.
She had the hair.
Yeah. I was always listening for the hair.
Yeah. Juice Newton, this was the 80s, but Juice always looked like she stepped right out of the 70s.
Yes.
She looked like a skinny hippie chick with the long curly hair.
I always thought her music was older than it really was.
Right. Well, she did the cover of Angel of the Morning. That was an older song when she did it.
That was my favorite when I was a kid. I loved that song.
But yeah, Queen of Hearts.
I get all excited when that song came on the radio.
Another classic from Juice. I know my friend Rich has a story about sometime back then in the 80s, he went to a concert. I don't think it was a Juice Newton concert. I think she was the opening for somebody.
Foreigner?
She might have been opening for Foreigner. Juice was the opening act. And at one point in between songs, Rich just yelled out to her. He yelled, Juice! And she turned and looked. And it was a moment that he remembered. He remembers to this day. Getting the attention of Juice Newton. Number 5, Jesse's Girl.
Yeah.
There's Rick Springfield, of course.
Yes.
That's a classic song. It's kind of overplayed. We've all heard it a billion times.
Yeah.
You know, it's been done to death, but that's
he still can't find a woman like that.
That's a classic pop song.
He's been looking for years now.
And we went to a Rick Springfield concert a few years ago. Terrific show. He's still out there running around performing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the monster hit from Rick Springfield, but he had a bunch of hit songs, like more than you think. But when he performs Jesse's Girl at his concert, they actually do like a video roll-in package to the song. They show a bunch of clips on the video screen of just like various pop culture references and stuff to the song.
That's neat.
Yeah, they make it a multimedia experience that you're about to watch Rick Springfield perform Jesse's Girl. Number 4. We got Stevie Nicks, we got Tom Petty. Together at last.
Stop dragging my heart around.
Yes, of course. That was a weird one.
Yeah. Sounds painful.
The song kind of drags. You know, that's a slow song. That just creeps along. And yet, it's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, a personal favorite of mine. I remember going out and buying the single of this song in 1981. Joey Scarberry with the theme from The Greatest American Hero.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's a beautiful song. Walking on Air. And this is a song that I know Stephen J. Cannell, the producer of Greatest American Hero, he used to tell a story about Joey Scarberry coming into his office and just playing the song for him and saying, what do you think? Do you think that'll work? And Stephen was like, Joey, are you out of your mind? This is a number one hit song. You just wrote a number one hit song. And he was right. It certainly was.
That story.
Number two, the Pointer Sisters, Slow Hand. Look out.
So here's the thing.
Yep.
I can't not like the Pointer Sisters.
We love the Pointer Sisters.
That is my least favorite.
Arguably, a naughty song.
Yeah.
And by arguably, I mean not arguably at all.
Right.
Pretty straightforward, no fooling around. This is rather naughty.
But at least you know where they stand. They want a lover with a slow hand.
It is not subtle.
I like every other Pointer Sister song better than that song.
Yeah. You like Neutron Dance?
Yeah, I do.
Of course. Pointer Sisters. Man, they were massive in the early 80s. That was their time.
So true.
Number one. Here we go, Cornflake. I remember this song just dragging on number one for weeks and weeks. This was on top of the charts. It's Lionel and it's Diana together. Endless Love. This song was inescapable.
You said that this list was better than last week's list.
This is a strong list of classic early 80s songs. Yes. Mm.
1981 was not my year.
Evidently, you're not a big fan of a bunch of these songs.
No, I am not.
Now, you don't like Endless Love?
No.
Wow.
No, I do not.
Were you there the night that Sponge Awareness performed Endless Love?
I like your version with Kim Jennings.
Yeah, you were there when me and Kim did this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Lionel Richie and Diana Ross don't sound good.
Kim and I performed several 80s duets over the years at Sponge Awareness Foundation shows, and I think it started with this one.
Man, I might have just, like, DJed too many weddings through the 80s and 90s, and maybe I'm just sick of it. Not a bad song, but 1981.
Do you recall when we did Endless Love, we tried to make it look like it was happening spontaneously?
Yes.
Did it fool you?
Almost.
We had arranged in advance that Kim was just going to come up to the microphone as if she suddenly decided to make this a duet.
Mm-hmm.
And that we had not planned it in advance, where, of course, we definitely had worked it out in advance, but we were trying to make it. And I think we fooled some people and others, maybe the craftier people in the audience like you, figured out what we were up to.
I'm not crafty. I don't know how I figured it out.
The song was so massive in the early 80s. I'm pretty sure this was number one for several weeks.
Yeah, the song's kind of timeless.
Casey Kasem must have been so sick of this song.
I'm sure he was. I'm right there with him.
I remember learning how to play this song on my flute. I think I was trying to impress a girl.
Kevin, that's beautiful.
It turns out that's not how you impress a girl.
Oh.
I don't think it worked. Well, Cornflake, welcome back to August 1981.
Oh, good to be back.
You just would have been waiting for in between these songs for the commercials to come on.
Yeah, I would have.
You were looking for Ramblin' Root Beer commercials back then. All right, that's what I had for the year 1981. We'll keep going through our run through the 80s. I'll continue next week. But right now, I think you had some stuff you've been up to lately that you wanted to tell me about.
Yeah, a little bit of traveling, a little bit of Cornflake on the road.
Here we go. It's been weeks since we've heard any Cornflake on the road.
And while I have been to Catskill, New York before, in that general area, I have never been to the Marble Rock House in nearby Leeds, New York.
New York.
First time in Leeds, New York, and I went all the way out there.
Is Catskill, New York anywhere near Peekskill, New York, where the Facts of Life girls are?
I think Peekskill's a little further west.
Okay.
I have to check a map, though, to be sure.
Take your word for it. So what were you doing in Leeds?
It's about as far east as our friends TV's Kyle and Lindzilla come if they're going to do a concert.
Kyle and Lindsay. TV's Kyle and Lindzilla, which is Lindsay in a Godzilla costume.
Yep.
They did a show.
Yep, they've got a new album out now, Commodore Touchdown.
How many albums has Kyle put out?
A lot.
3,000?
And they were doing something of a release show in Leeds, New York. And I thought, well, I can drive to that. Sweetening the deal even further was the fact that Devo Spice was also going to be performing at the concert.
Wow.
As well as a few other bands. And I checked it on Google Maps and I saw, okay, 3.5 hours away.
Yep.
But, you know, I didn't want to show up empty-handed, Kevin.
Okay.
So I could have just left from the great state of Massachusetts and drove west to New York.
Yeah.
But I thought, what?
You want to arrive with gifts like the wise men?
Yeah, what can I bring them?
Is there a shop where I can pick up some frankincense before I head out to New York?
I'm not sensible, Kevin. The only thing I could think of required me to drive to Kittery, Maine first.
What?
Yeah. So, this is a Friday afternoon. I drive from Massachusetts up to Kittery, Maine, and I go to a place called Lil's Donuts. They are some mighty fine donuts. And I thought,
guess.
I'll bring snacks. But I was not thinking about the fact that I then have to drive from Maine to New Hampshire to Massachusetts and then to New York.
Right.
So I need to be a little bit more sensible about these cornflake on the road trips. But
yeah.
But they did. They enjoyed the donuts.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you can find donuts in the state of New York.
But they might not be as good as Lil's.
You don't have to drive in the opposite direction to northern New England first.
They're really good donuts.
For a donut.
Really good ones.
Okay.
We're talking fancy donuts here. And they enjoyed them. So I'm on the road. It's a Friday afternoon, and I'm looking at the GPS, and it says 3.5 hours to get there. And I'm thinking, great, I'm actually going to be an hour early for this show. Well, Kevin, 17 car accidents later.
Whoa.
And thankfully, I was in none of them.
Were you offering donuts to the car crash victims?
I maybe should have.
As you drove along?
No, I was monitoring my GPS because, to my astonishment, it got to a point where I was just barely going to make it on time.
Yeah.
And at 6:50, it said I had 2 hours left to get there. And then at 8 o'clock, I had 2 hours left to get there. So I missed the first hour of the show, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed Devo Spice.
Oh, no.
I didn't get to see him.
You went out early.
I was bummed about that, but yeah. I did.
Was he still there, though? Did
he
you
was.
Saw actual and, Devo?
Yeah, I saw Devo, and I brought back this picture. So I got to hang out with Devo afterwards, and he actually was also telling me that I should see Stranger Things.
I'm looking at a picture of Cornflake and our friend, comedy rap musician Devo Spice. There you are.
But I got there just in time.
And there's Cornflake with Kyle and Lindsay.
To see a kaiju, a Godzilla Lindsay, and
yep.
Kyle. And they did a number of songs from their new album. And then another band got up, a band that sometimes collaborates with TV's Kyle, OK Glass. And it is synthesizer music and very quirky lyrics. Imagine somebody very, very enthusiastically banging away on a keyboard and singing. It was almost like Muppet-like, but he was just, like, he was fun to listen to, but he was even more fun to watch. And he said,
do you mean like Ralph the dog playing the piano, or do you mean like that songwriter that would get frustrated?
Yeah, yeah.
And slam his head down on the piano?
Like, maybe a combination of the two of those.
Okay.
Joe seems like a really nice and happy guy. And,
or like Dr. Teeth. I guess there's a third Muppet keyboardist I just remembered, of course.
A little bit like that.
Yeah.
I liked his act a lot, and that closed out the night. Kyle's family was nice enough to let me stay. I think it's because they heard I had donuts.
Sure.
So
the only reason you're welcome to anyone's home.
Because I brought the really, really nice donuts. But the next day, I was treated to a trip
to... It was
to...
all out of donuts, and they said, well, there,
get out.
There's the door.
Get out of here. I was treated to a trip to Main Street in Catskill, New York. And Kevin, it was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
This made me think of you. This was in a store window. It is...
It's a Donny Osmond doll.
Yes.
You saw for sale in a window in Catskill, New York.
Yeah. So
good to know.
Random.
In case I need a Donny Osmond doll.
Now you know where to find one.
Go up to Maine, get a box of donuts, and then go down to New York and get my Donny Osmond doll. He's a soldier of love, you know.
I remember. Now that song I liked.
That's late 80s. We'll get there.
And when you mentioned Dr. Demento on vinyl.
Yes.
There was a vinyl store. a place called Spike's Record Rack. They had turntables set up so you could listen to the records that they had available for sale.
Yep.
I found a record of The, This Is The Day.
Oh, yeah. So I remember them.
I love that song.
Any Pointer Sisters?
I didn't look. Kyle found a Dr. Demento record.
Wow.
And he ended up purchasing that. So this place had some gems.
Yeah.
And it was really, like, nice people running the place.
I'm glad that they were nice people, but I also would have been delighted if it was just run by horrible people. Wouldn't it be even better?
No. I had not run a record player in ages. And the woman was like, yeah, it's okay. You, like, pick something you want to listen to. And
so many great records at this place, but they're just monsters that run it.
Absolutely dreadful. Yes. No, I don't think I'd have enjoyed that as much. There was also, do you remember Parappa the Rapper?
No.
Okay, Parappa the Rapper was a Sony PlayStation game that was really popular, I think, in the early...
That's after my time.
But, yeah, early 90s.
You know, I don't know anything post-Frogger.
The guy who did all of the character art from Parappa the Rapper is a guy named Rodney Allen Greenblatt, and he's from Catskill, New York. He's known as one of the world's top character designers, and he has a place called the Rodney Shop where you can get his stuff. But then I saw another thing that really made me think of you, and this is... When I saw this, this is me listening to the record.
A picture of you listening to a record. Okay.
So I was in the Catskill Country Store, and I see this looking down at me. Do you know what that is, Kevin?
Okay. At first glance, this was like a little demon Christmas tree monster.
That's what I thought at first,
but
and then I looked more closely.
It's looking a little more chickenish. It's like a green Santa chicken demon monster.
It's a red and green Christmas chicken, and it's made out of very old store plastic bags.
Okay.
So this is a recycled art project, and I saw it, and I was like, I'm going to bring that back for Kevin.
And these plastic bag Christmas chickens, for the last 60 years, the chief export product of the whole state of New York.
Yes.
Yes. The whole economy is largely based on these plastic chickens.
They wouldn't sell it to me, Kevin. I wanted to bring it back for you, but since I couldn't...
You got a great picture of you and Kyle and Lindsay and the weird little demon chicken.
The demon chicken. So,
if you listeners are missing quite a slideshow of Cornflake in New York.
If you're ever out in Catskill, New York, Kevin, go visit the demon Christmas chicken.
I'm going to get the chicken and the Donny Osmond doll.
But bring donuts.
I'm paying in donuts. Yes.
And you'll be good to go for Catskill, New York.
Everything in Catskill is available for a donut.
This was a nice little treat for me because I wasn't going to be able to get out to Thump Fest this year. So it was really nice to see Kyle, Lindsay, and Devo. And since neither you nor I were going to Thump Fest this year, I handed off our badge ribbons to Kyle and Lindsay so that our friends out at Thump Fest could have some.
Oh, cool. I hope all the Thump Fest people, that's the comedy music convention in Chicago, which happened just a couple weeks ago with many, many friends of ours. Yeah, I'm glad we got some Flopcast ribbons to them. And if you'd like a Flopcast ribbon, dear listener, find me at DragonCon in Atlanta in just a few days. I'll give you a weird Cousin Oliver Flopcast ribbon.
We do it because we care. So yeah, there you go. There's Cornflake on the road.
Cornflake way out on the road, all the way to New York.
Don't let me plan the trip, or else you'll end up in Maine for donuts.
Outstanding. All right, well, Cornflake, thanks for bringing me up to speed on your latest wacky adventures.
Oh, no problem.
Even a little wackier than usual this time.
Yeah, this was really far out.
All right, it's actually getting late as we record. Let's wrap this up, please.
Okay, I got to get these pictures over to you so that you can put them on flopcast.net. That's our very own website. You, too, can see the plastic bag demonic Christmas chicken. You could also find us on facebook.com/flopcast, on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast, and even on Instagram. _flopcast is where you find us there.
Cool. Well, Cornflake, thanks for joining me once again. Next week, we shall discuss, 1982?
More 80s.
Plus, I think you had sort of a concert report for me this week, and I believe I will have an 80s-themed concert report for you next week.
Oh, that'll be cool.
So we'll see you there.
Peace and Commodores.
Do you enjoy pop culture? Of course you do. You're already listening to pop culture podcasts here on the ESO Network. The Rusted Robot Podcast discusses movies, trailers, TV shows, space and robot news, and so much more. Won't you please join us for a pop culture overload wherever you listen to podcasts? TheRustedRobot.podbean.com, a proud partner of the Soulforge Podcast here on the ESO Network.
The Rusted Robot Podcast. Think about it.
Okay, this is the secret after show. This is the Flapcast top secret after show that nobody's ever going to hear. Mm-hmm. Because just like on Radio Commercial Day, we play a little commercial jingle here on the podcast, and everybody just figures, well, show's over.
Right.
They stop listening.
We've had our fill of flops.
Now you may speak freely, because nobody's listening.
Oh, like I don't do that the whole rest of the show. No, can I really go into detail about why I don't like Foreigner?
Please, just let loose. Those guys have had this coming for a long time.
The secret will be clear. Can you make a prediction without telling me what's on next week's list? Because I don't want us giving away secrets even on the secret after show.
Okay.
What do you think? Better or worse than 1981?
Oh, as far as the top 10 songs?
Yeah.
From this week in 1982, which we shall run down next week?
I presume you've checked into it.
I felt like 81 was a stronger list. But you seem to feel another way, so I have no idea at this point.
I'm having a hard time concealing how unimpressed I was. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe I can win you back this way. I'll reveal right now. There is a little more air supply on next week's list.
Ah, that's worth listening to next week's show for.
Oh, good. So you're going to come back next week for the show then?
Yeah.
Right. If no one else, I've convinced Cornflake to show up next week for the Flopcast. You're going to love it.
Okay.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.